This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Tanner, often I like to say that we're back at the beginning of an episode, but this time I was about to say it and I realized that.
Jack!
Did I scare you? What happened?
What year is it?
Yeah, that's. I think you're approaching this.
What year is it? I just had the most awful dream. We were both teenage girls. We were living in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Society had collapsed. Everything was focused on our podcast.
Yeah.
They rebuilt society around our podcast.
I see. Yes. Okay. But we weren't us.
It's 2020.
We were, what were we in the dream? We weren't us. We were teen girls.
We were there, but we were teen girls. It was us, but it wasn't us. It was kind of the dream logic stuff, you know?
We had like a radio broadcast.
It was like a, yeah, it was like a state-funded sort of 1984 double-speak radio broadcast.
Okay, yeah.
Seal, Kiss from a Rose.
Uh-huh, I've had that same dream, yeah.
RX bars.
Yeah.
It's the only thing anyone eats in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a bad dream. I'm so scared I would never see my wife or family or you ever again, you know?
Right. Did you like the other teenage girl that I was, I guess?
She was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my teenage girl character definitely connected with her, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the same kind of camaraderous friendship that we have mm-hmm. carried through to these teenage girls. But, yeah, it was scary, and I didn't like it.
Did you also get the vibe? Because when I have that dream, I get the vibe that although they're friends, at any point, one or the other of them might report the other one to some, like, nameless,
police.
Faceless thought police authority and have
yeah.
them executed.
Definitely came to mind, yeah. And I feel like if it were any of the teenage girls reporting the other one to the thought police, it would be Lakeland reporting Michaela. Is that right? Are you Lakeland?
It's difficult to remember. Well, in the dream, it's always one
say.
Or the other, you know?
Right.
But no, I can assure you that we're back. It's 2020, and I should say to our listeners that... what has probably happened to you is you've forgotten that there were 10 episodes where we talked about the video novels.
Oh, good. So the video novels has already happened.
Yeah. The video
okay,
novels
great.
Has happened.
I'm starting to sort of align. I'm starting to click into place a little bit. I'm aligning myself.
And
time.
To answer your question, it is 2020.
It is 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. Has the killer, is the killer bees, has that happened?
No, that's not, that hasn't happened yet.
The murder hornets?
The murder hornets, people have heard of them, but they don't know the thing with them.
Okay.
The big
pandemic,
thing.
Did that happen yet?
The pandemic happened.
And that's happened. And did we get the vaccine yet?
No vaccine yet.
Okay. And then it mutating into a super pandemic?
We should probably, there's all sorts of stuff that people don't know about yet.
Okay. And the robot uprising?
None of that. That
Robot
I know.
Renaissance?
It's beginning, but not in a way that people have heard of.
Robot Renaissance happened yet?
Robot Renaissance? I actually don't know about that one. It sounds nice.
Oh, okay.
It's like art?
Yeah, they take over, and then there's sort of a beautiful renaissance where they do a lot of like poetry and art. A lot of really beautiful stuff.
About how much they miss the people?
Well, no, they're using us as... It's like, can you miss a battery?
Right.
Know?
Yeah. No, none of that has happened yet. And it is 2020, the last good year. People, I remember, my memory is that people at the time didn't think it was a good one.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, it's sort of, it tends to be thought of as the last good year.
Skynet?
None of that.
Active yet?
I don't think so. What you're getting
and the
me
renegade,
away from,
and then like we sent some guys back in time to take over Skynet, and what they ended up doing was loading video episodes of the Babysitter's Club video novel onto
right.
Skynet, and
yeah.
that is sort of what caused the collapse of society, and
yeah.
the focus like society sort of becomes about the Babysitter's Club.
Right. None of that has happened, and we still have time to prevent it.
Okay. Great.
But what I should say to folks who haven't put together what has happened is that before the Babysitter's Club video novels,
yeah.
we recorded one episode of Friends Forever where we didn't know we were going to do the video novels.
Yes.
One episode of Friends Forever.
We didn't really talk about it at all. We didn't address it.
Where we did know we were going to do the video novels. And now we're doing one where we definitely know that we did the video novels and we're back in time from the future.
Oh, so we, not only the video novels out, but we've done them. We've recorded.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I hope that's clear to people. Welcome listeners who just came in for the video novels and are interested to see what the radio novel stuff is all about. I hope this is all mm-hmm. making stuff. I mean, welcome. I mean, you've been here for three episodes now of Friends yep. Forever.
Welcome. Welcome to the radio novel episodes
yep.
where we talk about the radio novels.
Yep.
We are sort of mid...
We're in medias res.
Half chub.
Okay, that's. I was going to say in medias res, which is a much nicer way of saying that. And what you've said is half chub, I think, which is a...
We're sort of half chub okay, right yeah. now.
You don't want to go with my one?
Through
it's a Latin
the
phrase.
Friends Forever series.
It means
we
in the middle of the thing.
That's what kind of what half chub means, too.
Okay,
we did talk about the first several books.
Yeah, people know that. They've listened to two Friends Forever since the video novels. What I'd love to do
right,
is
right, right. Oh, yes,
say
yes, yes.
to you, Tanner, is hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
We say it together
We do
now.
It at the same time now.
A podcast in which I, Jack Shepherd,
and I'm Tanner Greenring,
talk about the classic radio novels by The Hand That Shakes. That's right, I'm talking about The Princess of the Prince of Town, St. Annabelle Matthews Martin, Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Bat. She is the first of her name, of course, the last of her kind, and the last hope for humankind. And this week we're going to be talking about a classic radio novel in the great Sitter's cycle, the Friends Forever section, called Friends Forever number 8, Marianne's Revenge.
I'm acting like I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. I read the book.
Yeah, you actually convinced me. I was like, oh, I got him. I titillated him with that one. But you did know what it was because you read it too. We both loved it. It's a great one. I was describing it to you before we started recording as good, clean babysitting fun. You pushed back pretty hard.
I pushed back pretty hard because I want you to really think about it, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Let's examine every step of the phrase you just said.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Yes. Check. Good book. Fun to read, nice to read, engaging, good.
Yeah.
Fun, yes.
Yes.
Sort of a lot of overlap with good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, it was also fun. It was good and fun. Babysitting.
No.
No, not one. Not one baby.
Clean, I would say, no.
Not clean.
It's dirty.
Yeah,
it's
pretty
filthy.
Dirty. Yeah.
But here's why I said
Marianne
it.
Gets nasty.
Marianne gets nasty. It's
and Cokie's
it's
like,
Marianne's makeover.
Cokie was fucking born nasty.
On steroids.
Yes. Well, and this is, if I recall correctly, and it's been 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Since
we're beeping and bopping all the way through time. And folks need to give us, it's like, it's jet lag, but time lag. We've been back in the past. We're back in the future. We're back from the future. It's very difficult for us to know where we are.
Alternate timelines.
So give us a minute while we try to remember what the fuck this podcast is about. What were you going to say? Were you going to talk about the Glaive Order?
The Glaive Order, yes. So that's the signature sort of on the Friends Forever series that we have recorded in the past. Are recording now.
We're currently recording one of them. That's all we can know.
And the Glaive Order is that there's a weapon from...
Krull.
Krull
mm-hmm.
called the Glaive, which is sort of a...
it's the ultimate weapon.
It's the ultimate weapon. It's sort of a spoke with tine, sharpened tines coming off
that's
of
right.
it. In sort of a swirl.
Yeah.
Like a whirlpool.
Yeah.
And
actually,
that,
can I correct you just very quickly before you carry on? I should say that in Krull, if you've seen it, the ultimate weapon does prove to be the power of their love.
Right. And that's ultimately going to be what the Glaive Order is about, too.
Second best weapon on the books is the Glaive.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that is what these books are, too, these radio novels, because we read the core series, and the core series had a number of messages and takeaways.
And revealed to us the Hatchet Order, which is kind of like the two-dimensional way of reading it. And it's a good way. It's better than reading it, like, chronologically.
If it's all you can process, if it's all your tiny, feeble mind is capable of taking in, sure, it's a fine way to process it.
But the real way to understand these novels is the Glaive
Order. Three chess.
It's 3D chess. And I think the way that it works, if I remember correctly, is you take a Friends Forever book, and that's the center of the glaive. And then you figure out what all the squeakles are to that Friends Forever book.
It's a term of art.
And those are all...
It's a shared term of art, and it's only used in two mediums.
Yeah.
One is this show and talking about the Babysitter's Club book, radio novels. The other is Alvin and the Chipmunks films.
Oh, is it? It's used in that as well?
I think they borrowed it from us.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard.
Because they wanted to lend a little gravitas to their film series.
I don't watch kids' movies. I know it from Lit Crit, you know?
Yep.
And so you got to find out what the Tines of the Glaive are. One of the Tines of the Glaive, clearly the spiritual sequel, the squeakquel, if you will, to this novel is Marianne's makeover. I would also add number 122, Christy in Charge. That's when she and... Carrie Retlin to have like a standoff about who's the boss of the PE or PT, as you say in England.
What? Physical therapy?
Physical training, I think.
I would also add, if I can throw my hat in the ring.
Please.
Babysitter's Club number 17, Marianne's Bad Luck Mystery.
Excellent, yeah.
Wherein Marianne faces off mano a mano with...
Cokie Mason. Can I add and can I throw my hat in the ring with...
You already did. You said...
I have another hat.
The one...
Hat on a hat.
Shit.
It's like that meme where the guy has a bucket on his head and he takes the bucket off and there's another bucket.
Best meme. Best meme. Do you know the book Caps for Sale?
Excuse me?
There's a children's book called Caps for Sale.
Caps for Sale. No, I'm not familiar.
Caps for Sale. It's a classic. It's a Reading Rainbow Select. It's from, I'm going to guess, the 60s or something.
Okay.
Maybe even earlier, 40s. It's about a hat salesman who's wandering the countryside, and he can't sell any of his hats, and he has his hats stacked up on his head, probably 30 hats, caps. And he can't sell any of them, so he goes out to the countryside to take a nap, and when he wakes up, he realizes that every single one of his hats, except for his own checked hat, which is on his head, has been taken by monkeys in the tree above him where he decided to rest.
Okay.
And he's pissed at these monkeys, and he shakes his hands at them, and they shake their hands back at him.
Okay.
And he stomps his feet, and they stomp their feet back at him. And then he's so frustrated, he throws his cap down in frustration.
Okay.
And guess what the monkeys do?
They get the one that he threw.
They throw their caps down in frustration.
Okay. I did not guess the mystery on that one.
It all looks like it maybe takes place in Poland, but it's very difficult to figure out where... this sort of architecture is, where people are selling caps, and where there are lots of monkeys living in trees.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's sort of a false place, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And I wonder, it hasn't shed any light on whether or not I can throw my hat into the ring here, but...
Yes. Well, you can, and the monkeys will all do it too.
Okay. That seems fine.
I think it's the trick.
That's fine. Yeah. I'd like to suggest Christy and the Copycat, my favorite Babysitter's Club novel, number 74, where she's...
This is news to me. Hey, this is news to me.
It's my favorite. It's the one where she burns a man.
Yes.
She sneaks out of her house and burns a man.
You really have an affinity for all the Babysitter's Club books where the girls do crime.
Yeah, one crimes, and then the one where Christy burns a man.
Yeah.
But that's even referenced in this. There's a fucking wonderful passage in this novel, in this radio novel, where Marianne is debating whether to sneak out of her house to go to Cokie Mason's party.
Which we will discuss.
We'll get to it. And Christy is like, oh, sneaking out's super easy. I did it once when I burned a man and got caught. And it was a fucking disaster. And my parents caught me and I almost killed a man. And it was the worst night of my life. But the point is that actually getting out of the house was fairly easy. You should do it.
It was easy and you should do it. Yeah. The good book.
Good book. We should describe it.
That one. Good book. This one.
Yeah.
And do you want to describe it?
Yeah. Let's describe it twice.
I think. Oh, fuck. We do it twice now?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That can't be right.
I describe it, then you describe it.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
What a waste of time.
Look, it's the system that's worked for us.
How do we do it?
I describe it, and it sounds good.
Uh-huh.
And then you describe it with a big bad clock, and it doesn't sound good, but it gets a lot more information across.
That sounds bad, man. I think let's just have you do it this week.
No, we're going to do both. I'm going to describe it, then I'm going to put 60 seconds on
just
a big bad clock.
Jack, just to see how it feels.
During those 60 seconds, I know how it feels. During those 60 seconds, you will describe every single thing that happens in this novel, and you've got a little bit of time to think about it.
I won't.
And that time is going to be during my description. Are you ready?
Think about it.
Okay. Do you want to mute yourself?
No.
Okay. Are you ready?
No.
Okay. I'm going to begin now.
I'm going to be difficult.
It does seem like it. Here we go. Now that she's single, Marianne Spear has a lot of time to think about her interests. Like any other eighth grader, she's interested in music, parties, fashion, and friendship. She's interested in books and old movies. She's interested in boys. And she's interested in revenge. Not your garden variety revenge, but the shove hot pokers in their eyes and wall them up in a basement type of revenge. The type of revenge that turns the whole world as red as the rage that burns inside her. The type of revenge that leaves a pile of bodies. And all of this is very, very bad news for the girl who's got her eye on Marianne's ex. Now that she's single, Marianne Spear has a lot of time to think about her interests and what she's particularly interested in doing today is making Cokey Mason suffer. Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 8, Marianne's Revenge.
You happy with that performance?
It seemed fine.
Okay.
What about you? Did you like it?
I was pretty indifferent, to be honest.
You're mad because I'm making you describe the book. It's for our listeners. Yeah. People want to know what happened. They haven't necessarily read it. I'm going to put...
I'm pretty pissed off. I'm pretty pissed off about doing it twice.
Okay. We've done it like literally hundreds of times.
Yeah, and I'm pissed about it.
Okay. I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock. During those 60 seconds, I would love for you to describe every single thing that happens in this novel. Are you ready?
No.
You are to begin now.
I'm looking at my notes to remind myself what happened.
Time is ticking.
Okay. Marianne and Cokey are in a fight because they're both in yearbook club together. And it's time for yearbooks, and Cokey wants to do superlatives, and Marianne doesn't because she thinks that space could be better used for something more interesting. Cokey wins because she's fucking bossy, and there's some nobody called Willie or Woody or something like that now.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows who this dude is.
Yeah.
They do superlatives. They vote. Cokie's being a nasty woman to Marianne about the breakup with Logan, and she wants to get hot and nasty with Logan. And Cokey rigs the superlatives so that she wins everything and starts spreading rumors about Marianne. And then Marianne stands up to her and says, fuck you. And she also says, fuck you to Richard.
Bad job. Very bad job.
Yeah.
Your attitude was, I think, a big part
of it. My attitude's bad. And I think I'm still feeling
a little burned.
A little salty.
Yeah.
About the fact that we're doing this twice. Yeah. And I'm thinking about this sort of Sonic adventure that our listeners are going to go on, and it's like, why are they doing it twice? And it's like, I don't know, you know? So, yeah, I'm struggling a little bit. I struggled a little bit.
Sonic's Adventure, you said.
Sonic's Adventure for the Dreamcast.
Let me fill in some gaps for you, because it was a good book. Marianne, the reason that it is a squeakquel or a spiritual sequel to Marianne's Makeover is Marianne is evolving.
It was Dreamcast, yes. 1998 platformer.
Great. Perfect. And since you walked with me on that, can you walk with me on this as well? Try to keep up?
Sorry? I was looking up Sonic's Adventure.
Okay,
remember
great.
The Dreamcast game came with the VMU unit that you plugged in your Dreamcast controller, and you raised little chaos, what are they called?
Emerald.
Cows. Chaos. in the VMU? No. Like a Tamagotchi?
That's not interesting to me.
Okay. Well, that's interesting to me.
This book is Marianne's makeover on steroids. I've said it before. I'll say it again, frankly.
Keep saying it.
Marianne is evolving. She's changing. She's becoming. Well, she's also shrinking, isn't she?
Mm. She is in the first half of the novel.
In the first half of the novel, she's shrinking. In the second half of the novel, she's growing. I smiled weakly and tried to think of a comeback, but I couldn't. I felt about 2 inches tall. The incredible shrinking Marianne was getting smaller by the minute. This is a motif that recurs. She's getting smaller. She's Benjamin Buttoning.
She's Benjamin Buttoning. She's getting smaller. She's reverse aging.
Yeah.
She falls in love with Cate Blanchett, I think. I've never seen Benjamin Button.
I haven't seen it either.
We talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
For two guys who have never seen it.
Yeah.
We talk about it a lot.
A lot. We also talk about The Notebook a lot, and I've never seen that. I think it's the same plot. It's the same plot.
I've never seen it.
Isn't it?
It might be the same plot, yeah.
Notebook is Benjamin Button in reverse. Wow, that's a fan theory. Think about that.
I think you should go to Wolfnard's and write that up right now.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Notebook is Benjamin Button in reverse. Think about it.
Think about it. That makes a lot of sense to me. Having seen neither film, yeah, I'm fully bought on.
Yeah.
I'm fully on board with that theory.
Yeah.
I think you should write it up.
I mean, I guess almost every movie is Benjamin Button in reverse.
Not every movie.
A lot of them. Not Benjamin Button.
Not Bicentennial Man.
Okay. Marianne is shrinking in the first half of the novel, and then she's evolving in the second half of the novel. And Chrissy is coaxing out Marianne's dark side. She makes me...
Let's think about this. Yeah. Let's think about this for a second. Shut up.
Okay.
We just got done with the video novels.
Yeah. In our world. For everyone else, 3 weeks have passed.
I literally cannot parse the timeline anymore, and I shan't, and I refuse to.
Yeah. Smart.
It's impossible to say.
Yeah.
The whole thrust of the video novels was that it's all moths, baby.
It's all moths, yeah.
Moth lore,
yeah.
Let me ask you a question about something that shrinks.
Okay.
Encases itself in a protective cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
Shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then grows into something beautiful and free and takes flight,
mm-hmm,
and takes to the sky afterwards.
A half chub.
Half chub.
Yep.
And that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think Marianne is a half chub.
No, it's a moth, isn't it? You were going to say.
No. Half chub. Half chub is what I was going to say.
Is it also a moth?
Could be a moth, I guess, if you want to think about it that way. But I was thinking half chub.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it. And Nola. Oh, by the way.
Oh.
Tanner, I'm trying to help you, but something's happening to me. Oh, something's happening to me, too. It's never happened this way before. What do we do?
It's so...
Baby Nation, if you're listening, call 911. We're both dying. We're both suffering from... Thack attack.
I just had a major Thack attack.
Yeah,
and I normally that doesn't happen to me because I ain't no Nola Thack girl.
Yeah, and I am. It's a Nolan one. Nola and Anne and Rachel.
They did a moth lore.
And Lucia.
Yeah.
Have somehow found us.
Through time.
Through time, through temporal space.
Yeah.
They found us and they said, you can't get away from us, boys, because Marianne is a half chub, no matter how much you resist it.
And
a moth.
A moth. Same thing. Same kind of thing, if you think about it.
Mm.
It's something that has the potential to be beautiful.
Yeah. Glorious and beautiful.
Glorious and beautiful. So that's interesting. So yeah. So the first half of this novel, radio novel, Marianne is shrinking, yeah, and she cocoons, right? And the second half of this radio novel, she evolves, becomes something greater, becomes a moth. And
she's a big, beautiful moth. And she says to Cokie Mason,
mm-hmm,
fuck you. She says to Richard Spear, fuck you.
Yeah.
She even says, I think, to Christy at some point, fuck you.
She's salty with
everyone.
She
says to Logan,
yeah,
fuck you.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Logan's like, I'm dating Dorothy something.
I'll tell you who Logan's dating. Folks, you're going to fucking love this. Logan's dating Dorianne Wallingford.
Dorianne Wallingford. Marianne's like, I don't give a shit as long as it's not Cokie Mason.
Fuck you. I don't give a shit. She dances with Woody Harrelson on the fucking dance floor.
It's Woody Harrelson?
I think that's the name of the guy.
From Natural Born
Killers? You spent about like half of your entire description of this book describing Woody Harrelson. He's like a guy.
I hate Woody Harrelson.
On the yearbook committee.
He's nobody. He's never existed before. This is Nola's half-baked attempt at
introducing
putting her
characters.
Name in yeah. the annals of Babysitter's Club history by being like, Woody was mine. It's like, what? Who? Woody?
Here's what
Woody
says.
Before.
When they're doing the superlatives.
And he's a fucking Cokie flunky.
He's a kind of a Cokie flunky. They're doing the superlatives at the yearbook, and Woody says, it doesn't have to be a dog show, Abby. That's Nola's influence.
Yeah.
What we need to do to make it more student-friendly is add categories that will include all students, like most artistic, most creative, most likely to accidentally invent a time machine.
Okay. What would your superlative be? Most pedantic?
Not at my school. at the school I went to, it would be like appropriately pedantic.
That's not much of a superlative.
Like, we all wore fucking ties and jackets, and it was run by Benedictine monks, and it was very academic.
Would you say you were the biggest bad boy at your school?
No.
What were you? You were pretty middle of the road then, huh?
I was a little bit of everything, man. I was cool, but also studious. I mean, everybody was studious.
Cool. You weren't cool.
I was cool. Yeah. I mean, for the school, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I've said this before,
yeah.
But I feel like if I had not left for New York and made a lot of new friends and sort of become like the person I am,
mm-hmm.
I think my superlative would have been most likely to become a juggalo. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like I really, in high school, growing up in Colorado, kind of dipped my toes in.
Yeah.
The juggalo lifestyle a little bit. I had some friends who were juggalos.
You fucked around with ICP?
I didn't really, but like I had friends who did, and it was like it would not have taken much for them to be like, hey, you should listen to this.
You took ICP's side in the ICP Eminem feud.
I would have.
Yeah.
Absolutely would have. Yeah.
So I think that probably would have been my superlative, most likely to become a juggalo.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll take my one. Appropriately pedantic.
Appropriately pedantic is not, you know what superlative means, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a superlative to me.
And that's, you know, perfectly middle of the road.
What would your superlative be, Baby Nation? That's your homework.
Oh, it's a quiz. Maybe it's a quiz?
What would your superlative be?
What is your... superlative. Think about your worst trait that everyone hates about you.
Okay.
Imagine what it would be like if you didn't resist that and had embraced it.
Okay.
Or like think about the people who you look back on your life and think about the people who influenced you at certain parts of your life who you feel bad about now.
Yeah.
You know? And then that is the thing you would have most likely have been.
That sucks for people.
I know. It's not a fun game.
Should we take a little break?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly,
he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so have we said to everybody who's listening all the things that happen in this radio novel?
I don't know.
Okay, why don't I walk us through it?
Okay.
Marianne's on the yearbook. She and Koki Mason are in a big fight, and the big fight is mostly because Koki Mason is spreading rumors about her in relation to her recent breakup with Snike Nigrarius.
That sounds right so far.
Then Marianne decides that she's not going to be the shrinking half-chub, to use a technical term, but is in fact going to evolve into a giant moth.
Full chub.
Yes. Yeah. And the way that she does that
is torqued hog.
Fully torqued hog. Okay, we got there.
Yeah.
Is by engaging Carrie Rettlin, the master of mischief.
Yes, yes. The master of mischief.
Do pranks on Koki Mason. And the culmination of those pranks will be at her Koki Mason's big party. But the problem is Marianne gets grounded. And because I think it's the purge, right? Because there's a curfew.
There is. So it is purge. Yes, that sounds right. And I'm having trouble remembering all of the lore.
Yeah.
In the radio novels, but I do seem to have some sort of awareness around the purge.
There's something about the purge from the radio novels, and it's referenced here. Speaking of going after Koki, if you talk to Carrie again, no, and I haven't mailed the subscription cards either. They have this plan to mail subscription cards to get her subscribed to a bunch of magazines.
You ever do that? You ever do that to fuck with someone?
We did a thing in senior year where we signed a friend of ours up for every college mailer. But with a funny name.
That is good.
Yeah. You ever do that?
Yes. Actually did almost exactly that.
Yeah.
Signed someone up for something with a funny name.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Although if Koki goes too far, she could be reading Popular Mechanics in triplicate very soon. We laughed. We also agreed that we needed to do some party planning of the sneaky Carrie Rettlin mischief kind. And then I realized what time it was. I gasped. Oh no, I'm late. Way past curfew. I can't believe they haven't called yet. I don't know who they is. I guess it's the authorities.
It's the thought police.
Yeah. And then it's curfew because it's... I don't know if it's... I can't remember what Anne does with the Purge mythology. Is Purge night every night in Stony Brook? Or did she just set a lot of books during Purge Night? I guess what they do with the movie.
Well, it's kind of tied into...
They always set the movies during Purge Night.
Well, for Anne, it's tied into Amber Theory. So it's like Purge Night is one night a year, but it's always that one night a year.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So it's sort of like the Halloween Hop in that way.
Yeah. Every night is Purge Night.
It's just kind of always Purge Night.
But Marianne, the new evolved Marianne, Moth Marianne.
Yes, Mothianne.
Mothianne. That's good. I like that. She calls herself the overprotected.
Right.
Dad was right. I wasn't. I was Marianne Spear, the overprotected. Mothian, the overprotected, Mothian becomes...
sort of a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because she's not really overprotected. She's embraced her own sort of life and...
and power.
Taken her life into her own hands.
And she decides that Purge Night or no, she will go out. And she gets grounded.
Well, because she wants to go do crime.
She wants to go do crime. Yeah.
She wants to go destroy the life of Cokie Mason.
In her mansion.
And it's the one night a year where she's allowed to go do that.
Yeah, and she does. And it's powerful.
While we're talking about Cokie,
yeah,
I want to introduce some other sort of mythology that Anne likes to tap into a lot.
Yeah.
Because I think Anne sort of revealed something about Cokie this week.
Okay.
Cokie, nasty, mean.
Yeah.
Awful person.
Yeah. She's unpleasant this week.
Likes to sort of mix pain,
mm-hmm,
causing people pain, with pleasure, both her own and sort of like the pain that she inflicts is sort of tied into past pleasures. So like what she does with Marianne is she sort of like centers in, hones in on Marianne's failed relationship with Logan Bruno and sort of like finds a way to create tension around the fact that Marianne and Logan used to be an item and are no longer an item. And she kind of like constantly like makes Marianne think about and miss Logan.
Right.
In, you know, sort of a romantic way.
Mm-hmm.
So something Cokie does is she causes pain. She causes pain and sort of mixes it with, what's the word I'm thinking of? Pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasures of the flesh.
Okay. I see where you're going here.
And then Cokie Mason also throws a party,
mm-hmm,
and invites everyone at SMS, Marianne included, and Marianne shows up at Cokie's house. Following Abby's lead, Christy and I nodded and smiled at Mr. and Mrs. Mason. They seemed perfectly nice. I wondered if they had considered the possibility that Cokie and their real baby had been switched in the hospital. Those things did happen, after all. We walked for several miles down carpeted halls past mirrors and vases of fresh flowers. Wow, I said. This house is almost as big as yours, Christy.
Oh, so it's miles long. I actually missed that. It's miles long inside their
house.
It's
miles long. It's labyrinthian.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know much about the Hellraiser mythology, Jack, but...
I mean, I do just from reading these Babysitter's Club books.
Cenobites come from an alternate reality, sort of hell-like plane called the Labyrinth.
Okay.
Where it's miles of unending hallways, and you're being pursued by this terrible monster the entire time. And if you solve the lament configuration, not only are you introduced to a world of pain and pleasure,
yeah,
by the Cenobites, but you are also dragged to the labyrinth where you need to sort of spend eternity fleeing from this horrible beast.
And that's what's happening with Cokie.
That's what's happening with Marianne. I think Cokie is definitely a Cenobite.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think she comes from the labyrinth, the labyrinthian plane. And it's something Anne talks about a lot in these books.
She loves to do it. And she's got limited time. She's only got a few books left, so she's obviously trying to wrap up the Hellraiser.
She's trying to get as much
stuff
as possible.
With this big reveal.
Yeah.
That Cokie.
Cokie Mason is a Cenobite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And it's all in the text, you know? You try to dispute it.
You can't.
Try to dispute it.
You can't.
You can't. You can't.
Read the fucking book.
Read the book.
Come on. Read the book. It's in the
read
book.
Read the book. Cokie Mason is a Cenobite.
Yeah.
She lives in the labyrinth. She's dragged Marianne there, and she's introduced her to a world
of pleasure and pain, but she didn't expect that Marianne is now Mothrianne, isn't she?
Mothianne, yep.
And be afraid, be very afraid, because it's Mothianne now.
She's the one who knocks!
She's the one who knocks.
Just like us.
Should we turn to a lighter topic?
Yeah. Yeah, if you got one.
I've got a sexier topic.
Hell yeah, bud.
It's light.
Hell yeah.
And it's sexy and it's fun. And it occurs during the heart palpitating passage where Marianne is trying to escape from her house.
Yes, so Marianne gets grounded because she's being snide and Kurt with Richard.
And let me read you this passage, and I'll try to read
it.
Oh,
and she's late. She's late coming back from a Babysitter's Club meeting because she's too busy conniving with Christy.
Yeah, and Mr. Spear gets angry. So she's sneaking out. She's grounded, and she's sneaking out. This is not the Marianne of yesteryear, folks. Strap in. Put on your seatbelts, because this is not the Marianne you're used to.
Put on your seatbelts.
Put on your fucking seatbelts. It's not, unless you're in New Hampshire.
Yeah, because there you live free or die.
I'm going to try to read this as sexy as I can.
Please.
I walked boldly downstairs and through the
room. Doing your British accent.
Are you sure?
Ladies love it.
Yep.
I walked boldly downstairs and through the living room. I hovered outside the den door. I heard the murmur of voices, and then I heard Sharon say, "Oops, I dropped one." "I'll get it for you," my father said. Sharon snorted. "And see what letter it is. I'll get it." I heard the laughter in my father's voice as he said, "No, I insist." Deciding that both Sharon and my father were looking down at the floor for a Scrabble piece instead of toward the door, I took a giant step across the den entrance. I stopped and held my breath. "Got it." Sharon was triumphant. "Yes, but it's my turn," my father answered.
And they're playing Strip Scrabble.
Goosh, yep. And they're playing Strip Scrabble.
Aren't
and
they?
We're all gooshing. Yeah. And I think we should do a little table setting because I don't know if we've got new listeners from the video novels.
Well, if we didn't before, we got them now.
If we didn't before, we got them now. Something you need to know about Jack, Baby Nation, Baby Bees, is that he's secretly British. He has actually a British accent. He affects a American accent to impress, well, me, I guess. Like his friends. Initially, you affected this American accent to impress your...
Who knows what's going on anymore?
Private school friends, right? In Washington.
Yeah.
But now it's just to impress me.
Yeah.
So Jack is secretly British. That British accent you heard just now was real and authentic. That's the real Jack. The Jack we talk to every day is a fake Jack. It's a facade. He's always sort of one step separated from reality because of his fake accent.
And, but most importantly...
Jack, how old are you now? 42?
No.
41.
Something, somewhere in that area.
Why don't you drop the pretense already, embrace who you are, return to your roots, pick up your natural British accent again.
I'm an American citizen now.
How often do people, try to convince you to go back to your British accent?
Less and less.
I think you should do it. I think you should embrace it. I think you should go back to being British Jack again.
My dad has a theory that my British accent, whatever it is now, is trapped in the 80s. Which is when I left England.
Radical, father.
So it's like, it's an accent that it doesn't exist. It's like trapped in time. Who knows what it is? But that's not what we're here to talk about, is it? What we are here to talk about is Strip Scrabble.
Strip Scrabble, it's part of a complex and interesting sex life.
And dangerous.
And dangerous sex life that Sharon and Richard have.
You know what Richard does in this novel immediately after Strip Scrabble is he goes straight to the refrigerator, doesn't he?
He needs to caffeinate.
He's got
to
go cool off.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works, folks. I do not know how it works. But they're playing Strip Scrabble because Marianne is like, oh, Marianne is the worst sneaker outer of all time. It's like, it's literally 8 o'clock and she's like, oh, fake yawn. I need to turn in for the night.
And then she goes and puts on makeup and
she puts
perfume.
On makeup and like her fucking like nicest jeans and puts a bathrobe over it. And her dad is like peeks his head around the door. She's wearing like full makeup.
Are you okay? She's like, yes, I'm fine. Yeah, she's not very good at sneaking out. I was a good kid. I never had to sneak out.
Yeah.
My parents just trusted me.
That's nice.
My mom's here. Actually, you know what? My mom's here. She asked to be on the podcast.
She wants to be on the podcast.
She almost demanded it. She was like, do you need me to be on the show?
Okay.
Should I text her and have her come down and talk about what a good kid I was?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. One sec.
That sounds great. And we'll round this out. Well, should we do our burn of the week while we wait for her?
can you come down and be on the podcast? Yes, let's do our burn of the week while we're waiting for Dawn to respond.
It's our
burn of the week.
It's a good one. A book full of burns this week.
I got in so much trouble. She's literally sprinting down here. I got in so much trouble last weekend when I was pretending to be a bat.
On the little sister. I want to hear the aftermath of that.
Mom's here. Okay. My mom's here. We're going to have to hold burn of the week until my mom is done. Jack was talking. So, hi.
Hi.
We are recording.
Hi. You can't hear
Jack,
me, Dawn.
But... She can't hear you.
Yeah.
Hi, Jack.
In this book, Marianne gets grounded and sneaks out to a party. And I was talking about how Jack was like, oh, it's a bad way to sneak out. And he had all these tactics around sneaking out. And I was saying I never had to sneak out because I was a good kid.
That's true.
And I want you to come on the podcast and talk to Jack about how good of a kid I was.
Okay. Hi, Jack.
Hello. It's good to see you.
It's good. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. Can you see me? Yeah. Tanner and I like to look at each other while we talk.
Yeah, I've been working at this desk all week.
Oh, nice. So tell us what a good boy Tanner was. Or not. Was he?
Tanner was a very good boy.
Okay.
He, as far as I know, very rarely skipped school. He didn't drink. There was one point that there was beer in the house at his dad's house, and his dad was gone.
Okay.
And there was the same amount of beer in the house when his dad got home after a weekend. And this is when Tanner was in high school, right? Like, why would you not drink the beer
right.
that your parents left behind in high school?
Like, okay.
No, you're not a loser. You're a loser.
So the story is that there was beer, but it was not Tanner's, and he didn't drink it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, but cool guy.
He was a cool guy. He didn't drink other people's beer. So
yeah.
He was just he didn't sneak out. Well, here's the truth is, both he and his sister are horrible liars.
Okay.
So when you can't lie, you can't get away with sneaking out.
What parties? Did he go to parties?
I don't think so. I don't know. Did you go to parties, Tanner?
No, I wasn't invited to.
No, he says no.
No beer smoking?
Oh, heavens no.
Okay.
No smoking.
Wow. Staying out past curfew, that's something that happens in this novel.
Staying out past curfew, no.
Didn't have a curfew.
He didn't really have a curfew, but he also never stayed out late.
Okay, here's a question for you. Can you remember the last time that Tanner was grounded?
I don't know that I can remember that Tanner ever got grounded.
What a goody two-shoes.
He was a good boy. Yeah, he was a good boy.
Was that a worry?
That he was too good
that
of
he
a
was
goody
too much
two-shoes?
Of a goody two-shoes.
No, because he was really naughty when he was a little boy.
Okay. So he got it all out in the first.
He got it all out of his system. He was really, really high strung and difficult when he was little. But then when he got older, he just mellowed out.
Did he wear oversized jeans?
Oh, of course. He was very stylish all of his life.
That's cool.
I don't know. It's not a very interesting story, is it?
Well, I'd like to remind you that what the story that you're saying is not very interesting is your son's early
that
life.
That he was such a good boy that I didn't ever have to worry about anything.
That's good. That's nice.
That is a good thing. He also didn't drive until he was eight, almost. No, you were 18. He turned 18 in January and he started driving in April.
Okay.
And only because his grandfather forced him to start driving.
We've been trying to figure out what our yearbook superlative would have been.
Yeah.
Can you think off the top of your head in senior year what Tanner would be most likely to?
No. Okay, let me think about this. I think Tanner would be most likely to... I mean, I just have this... Tanner says be a juggalo. No, I think I just keep picturing him on his rollerblading
okay.
back and forth too.
So this is famous on our podcast is that Tanner is a rollerblader. And yeah. So he gave up the dream. That's the thing. He didn't have time. He's one of these, he's like young Olympians. He didn't have time to like sneak out and used
no,
drugs.
No, and he was a good worker, right? Like he worked at McDonald's and he worked really hard and he made friends with everybody. Like everybody loved Tanner.
This feels like propaganda now.
I would go to McDonald's and all the guys would be like, Tanner's funny. Like, okay.
Here's something I'd like to get the answer to. So last week, Tanner and I recorded an episode of our little sister little episodes, which listeners can subscribe to at patreon.com/bscc podcast.
I am a subscriber.
You're a subscriber. See?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, people.
Right?
Yeah. We sing the descriptions. And Tanner did a bit where he decided he needed to scream like a bat.
Oh, yeah. I heard it.
And he woke the child.
He woke the baby.
What was that like on the other side? On the other side of the equation.
Well, I've never seen Jamie get really mad at him before. But she was very, very mad at him. So, yeah, you know, it's screaming and waking the baby is not a great idea.
That's not okay. Is that
being a bat?
He was a bat. it was not a good idea. I do like when Tanner sings the descriptions though, because A, he didn't sing that much. And now that I hear him sing karaoke when he's an adult.
Yeah, it's weird. With pipes like that.
Puts his heart into it, right?
He's a real talent.
Real talent. There were a lot of road trips between Colorado and Minnesota where we would listen to, Les Mis a lot. Garth Brooks. Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. And then what were those mother-daughter country western red-haired team? He sang a lot of that too, the Judds. There you go.
The Judds.
He used to sing a lot of that too.
Yeah. That's lovely. What a cool guy.
It was lovely. He was cool. Yeah. I'm a little biased, but I think he was kind of a cool guy. Now, I told you the stories about going to prom or
football.
Who did Tanner take? Oh, Tanner took an object to prom, right?
A volleyball.
Wilson. Yeah.
Wilson the volleyball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a claim to fame.
Yeah.
He and Jim were a force to be reckoned with when they were in high school.
Jim from Mallory Hates Boys and Jim.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's the same Jim. I'm pretty sure it's the same Jim. Yeah. Not 100%, but I'm pretty sure.
That's cool. All right. Well, don't ever tell Tanner this, but he's a good one. I like him.
I like him too.
Don't say it in a way that he could hear that I've said something that might be nice about him.
I like Jakey Radowski too. How's that?
That's good. That's perfect. Good cover.
All right. Yeah, thanks.
Well, it has been very nice to speak with you.
It's been nice to speak with you, too. I like seeing Cyril on channels, social media channels.
Yeah.
He's such an interesting little... All the boys are so awesome. Like, oh, he's so grown up.
Yeah. Cyril's a pain in the butt, but he's lovely.
Oh, no. Tanner's asking if I like Miles more or Cyril more. Course,
Miles is very cute.
He's funny. He's just a miniature version of his father.
Yeah,
like to the point that sometimes even some of the same behaviors, I'm like, ooh, buckle up. It's gonna be a long 8 years.
This kid's gonna be wooing all the volleyballs.
Yeah, right. You can't get enough volleyballs. So sorry, I don't have any great Tanner. Was a bad boy stories.
Well, I'm glad we've had you on the show. We've had my mom on the show a couple times.
Yeah. I've noticed.
Redressing the balance in a good way.
Yeah. I prefer a little even distribution of moms on the podcast. Seems a little more fair. So, all right. Well, it's good to see you.
It's very good
to
see you. Yeah.
Your lovely family for me.
I will.
I was trying to think how long ago it was we were in Austin, but Cyril was pretty teeny tiny at that point.
Long enough ago that we could all go out to a bar together.
Remember those days? Yeah. That was the best. It was the best. All right. Well, take care.
Good to talk to you.
Bye.
Wow. Your mom told me a lot of cool stuff about your
You always know you're cool when your mom comes on your podcast and says that you were cool.
Like she can't think of a single time where you did anything bad.
I thought he was cool, is what your mom says. And you're like, oh, yeah, it must have been cool if my mom said so.
Oh, I really enjoyed that. Let's do our burns and then let's get out of here and leave and go.
You know what my mom doesn't know?
What?
And keep in mind that the walls of my new home, Connecticut home, are pretty leaky, and she can definitely hear me saying this, but my mom doesn't know the time that I found the Penthouse magazine that she had.
Wow. Okay.
Which was weirdly from the month of my birth.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe someone gave it to her.
A lot of moms do that. They'll save the Penthouse magazine from the month of their kid's birth just as like a memento. Yeah.
And I held on to that. That was, that was something I got.
Is that even Playboy, which you read for the articles, you know?
Yeah, no, this was smut.
Well, let's do our burns here. I'd love to do a burn. This book is full of burns. So Marianne, I don't know if Marianne's a badass in this book. She's a badass. Yep. Okay, can I say my burn?
Yep.
I want to say, I'm trying to decide whether I should say a burn from Marianne or a burn from Cokie, because these are the two players in the burn game this week.
Yeah, it feels, Cokie had a lot of good burns, but it feels bad putting on a Cokie burn.
Yeah, I'm going to do a Marianne burn, so I'm gonna leave you with the Cokie burn. I'm going to start with the Marianne burn.
I don't want the Cokie burn. I want to do the Marianne burn. You do the Cokie burn. You do the Cokie burn.
Okay, here's my Cokie burn. It's when they're talking about the Cokie's big party. I shifted my pack, and she's talking about the, like, Carrie Rettlin is on some weird shit because he's like,
oh, God, carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
That's beautiful. It's our segment where we talk about Carrie Rettlin, I think.
Carrie Rettlin is such a presence in this book. He's so good.
He's so dangerous.
They weaponize Carrie Rettlin.
Yeah.
So they need to get back at Cokie for spreading all these rumors about Marianne. And Marianne says, like, oh, we need a little help, like, getting back at Cokie. And Christy's like, are you sure? And Marianne's like, yeah. And then Christy says, then there's only one thing to do. Talk to the master of practical jokes and diabolical schemes, Christy pronounced. Who, I asked. Carrie Rettlin.
Fuck yeah.
Of course. And they sort of like Beetlejuice style summon him into our realm to do to do mischief on Cokie Mason. And he says, one of the coolest things in the world.
Yeah.
God, Carrie Rettlin's such a good character, and he's so cool.
He's amazing.
Marianne's like, Carrie, we need help. Cokie Mason is destroying my life. She's being such a bad lady. Can you help us?
Yeah.
And Carrie Rettlin says, Cokie, now there is one of life's complications.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I thought you would be into it. And he was like, life's complications should be interesting, Carrie pronounced. Not, he paused, seeming to search for a word. Not sordid, petty, and unimaginative. I'm afraid Cokie is all three. Yes, I'll help.
I'll take the mission. He's like a Loki figure.
Oh, he's so good.
He's like, he could be good, he could be evil, and he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Because his through line, his one like guiding light is that complications make life interesting. That's like catchphrase.
Cokie's not complicated. She's
petty.
She's petty and basic and uninteresting.
And therefore, like, she doesn't count as a complication. If she had been interesting in the way that complications can be, he'd be like, I can't take a side in this.
Yeah.
Like, he's not good or evil.
He's chaotic neutral.
He's chaotic neutral, but he has like one goal, which is to create complications. And so he pauses in that moment. Marianne's like, will you help me? And he's like, I don't know. Would it be more interesting? Would it cause more complications to not help you? And then he's like, no, Cokie's boring because she's petty. And so
Cokie's boring in the opposite way that he's used to. Like, he's used to like shaking things up.
Yeah.
The status, he's used to like going against the status quo.
Yeah.
But like, Cokie is such a villain that he's like, that's just as boring.
It's so cool. It's so fucking cool.
And I need to fuck with that as well. God, it's so good. Carrie Rettlin's the coolest character in these books. I'm sad that we don't get more time with him.
Yeah, it's a shame. But he does this cool thing where he's like, okay, I'll help you. And then he's like, let's go into the library and we're going to take 100 magazine subscription cards. We're going to subscribe Cokie to all of them. They do that. They spend like however long it takes to do that. And then Marianne's like, okay, should I mail these? And he's like, no.
No, hold them.
Hold them.
That's your insurance policy.
That's your insurance policy.
That he, you know what he says? He says, that's your confidence.
Yeah. It's so
like,
good.
God, that's good. He's like, you can fall back on that if you need to.
Just like knowing that you have these in your pocket will make you feel more powerful. And it keeps coming up whenever Marianne's like afraid. She's like, she like feels the cards in her pocket. And she's like, no.
It's so good. Carrie's so good.
It's so good.
All right. What's your burn?
Here's my burn. I shifted my pack and felt the bump of the subscription cards against my arm. Thanks, I said. I'd love to come to your party, Koki. Koki, who had been rummaging in her purse, looked up in surprise. I gave her a big smile and added, you don't have to give me your address. I know where you live. I'll take it, said Carrie, extracting the invitation from Koki.
That's a menacing thing to say to someone.
Great, Koki chirped. She smiled at Carrie. Her smile disappeared as she turned to me. And I'm glad you're going to come, Marianne. It'll be nice for you to get out. That's good.
Koki has a lot of these sort of like very biting burns.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's got a subtlety. It's like she's good at the burn that's like, it sounds nice.
Yeah. Non-Koki burn.
Yeah, burn on Koki.
Burn onto Koki.
Yep.
Burn onto Koki as Kokis would burn onto you.
Yeah.
Austin and Abby were sitting at the table, boxes stacked in front of them. There you are, said Austin. Come on, start counting. Marianne and Austin and Abby are on the features team at the yearbook, and they have to count all the superlative votes.
Yep.
I dropped my pack on the floor and sat down. I pulled a ballot box towards me and realized that Koki was in the room too. She came out from one of the computer stations and said, you're late, Marianne. I felt Abby's scrutiny. My neutral expression hadn't been as neutral as I'd thought. Clearly, some misery is showing on my face. Koki saw it too. I swear I saw her eyes light up. Are you all right, Marianne? She asked with fake concern. I'm fine, thank you. My hands fluttered uselessly among the slips of paper. You certainly don't look it, Koki purred. You look awful. Suddenly, I couldn't take it anymore. I felt my eyes blaze with rage. I stood up and faced Koki. Well, it takes one to know one, doesn't it, Koki? And you, of all people, ought to know about awful, because in my opinion, when they were handing out awful, you were first in line. Koki actually took a step back. Austin scooted his chair a little way from the table, as if he was afraid we were going to start throwing things. I like that. It's a good burn, but I also just like Austin Bentley punctuating it with like, oh shit.
Whoa, fuck. I was not expecting this.
I have to get out of the fucking way.
I was not expecting.
This is two titans.
Fucking Mothy Ant, fucking Mothra over here.
It's Mothra versus Godzilla. Mecha Godzilla. Good burn. Lots of good burns. Koki's pretty good at burns, but they're mean, bad burns because she's a mean, bad girl.
And Marianne's good at burns because she's evolved, and the evolved form of Marianne is now with us, and it's a Mothy Ant.
It's Mothy Ann.
Yeah.
We didn't get a lot to, we didn't get a chance to talk a lot about Woody, a made up character that
Nola's really trying to make
Nola's
Woody
made
happen.
Up. He's sort of a dickhead.
I mean, do you think this because this episode's been mostly like about half chubs and Woody's.
Yeah. I think Nola probably thought we were going to kind of go in a half chub direction.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm going to give him a guy called Woody. Which is
and they'll spend a lot of time with that, and then we just did nothing with it.
Yeah, she expected us to really meditate on that. Well, we are now, you know. So, Baby Nation, Woody is sort of a term of art in the boner community. It is.
Yeah, everybody knows what a half chub is.
Yeah. So a lot of different cool ways to say. Sort of boner or like half boner.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
In this episode.
If you take only one thing away from this week, please do take that away.
And if you're new to the show, welcome.
Welcome, yeah.
We did kind of see a bump in our numbers after the Netflix miniseries. So.
Yeah, and so probably some folks have stuck around.
Oh, and of course you had the two preceding episodes. One, which was business as usual. No sort of commentary or deliberation about the fact that we had just done 10 episodes about the Netflix series, and then the next, which is a complete departure, fantasy fever dream about two teenage girls living in the future.
And now this, we are the two literal dumbest idiots. And I wish I had your mom back here to be like, hey, talk about how dumb of an idiot Tanner is.
Yeah. And then this one's all about boners. So yeah,
this one's all about boners.
See you next week.
I do think that is time to leave and also to go. And we should go leave and we should go and we should leave and go. And what I'd like to say to you, Tanner, is thank you for bearing with me. I would like to say to the Baby Nation, thank you for bearing with us. I would like to remind you to please subscribe to our Patreon. It is patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. We talk about the little sister books. We sing the descriptions. And sometimes Tanner screams like a bat and annoys his family.
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble for that.
Please also
in my defense.
Yeah, okay.
I thought I was supersonic.
Please do buy our merch. We've got lots of good merch at bit.ly/BSCC merch. You can get t-shirts, you can get totes, you can get stickers, you can get pins, and more. Mm. Remember to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. It helps us to stay relevant on the Apple algorithm. So if you take just 1 second to go over to Apple Podcasts, give us a nice rating and a just write a few words in a review and it will mean the world to us and we will appreciate it. And finally, please, for the love of God, join the Baby Nation Facebook group. It's at Facebook.
It's at Facebook. It's just at search Facebook. For Baby Nation, which is the name of the group.
Yeah. It's on our Facebook page, which is the Babysitter's Club, but the group is where all the action happens. You know that by now, surely. All that remains is for me to say that this week fuck my life. All that remains is for me to say
fuck
that this week we read a radio novel, and it was called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever Number 8, Marianne's Revenge. Next week, we're going to be reading a radio novel that is called, and I'm so excited to say this, Babysitter's Club Friends Forever Number 9, Christy and the Kidnapper.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, it sounds fucking awesome.
They are really pulling all the fucking stops out.
You know what it is?
At the end of these Friends Forever books.
I'm realizing it's definitely going to be Ellen Miles, whose like whole thing is like, yeah, I'll write a Friends Forever book, but it's got to be a mystery.
It's got to be a mystery, and it's got to be a huge bummer.
Yeah.
Although it might be, there's a chance that it could be the Entity who deal with this sort of morbid like child crime.
Yeah. They do like to deal with crime and horror.
Baby Nation, we are screaming at 99.99999 repeating percent, the speed of light, towards the end of these books. And by the end of these books, I mean literally the end of all of these books. We've read them all. And the point of me saying that is make peace with your God now. Get your last will and testament in order.
Yeah.
Prepare to take to the field with us.
Yeah.
And have your corporeal being consumed by birds and your soul carried to heaven, because our souls are almost free from this torment. And what comes next? Nobody knows and no one can know. Maybe nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe something beautiful.
If you've witnessed how we handled shifting from the Friends Forever series to the Netflix series and back, you will know with full confidence that nobody knows and no one can know, and we are included in that.
Yeah. It could be beautiful. It could be hellish. It could be nothing at all. It could just be
birds.
Nothing. It could just be birds.
Help us figure out what we're going to do next. Rest assured, we'll do something.
Do help us. Well, no. You're going against my very message. It could be nothing.
Yeah.
It probably won't be nothing. This is all Jack and I have. But yeah, if you have an idea of what we can do next, please just, I don't know, tweet us or whatever.
Let us know. I'm going to leave you, Tanner, with a thought starter as I do the outro, is that.
I love it when you challenge me with a thought starter into next week.
I just want you to meditate and ruminate on this. Next week, we're reading Christy and the Kidnapper.
Yep.
Is kidnapping the opposite of babysitting? Think about that.
Kidnapping. Well, no, because when you do kidnap, you have to babysit.
Think about it in your head.
It's sort of elevated.
Not out loud.
It's elevated.
Think about it in your brain.
Or elevated babysitting.
Think about it quietly.
Okay.
This week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented. You're wearing a missed shirt. Don't think I didn't
notice.
I
know, it's cool, huh?
It's like so understated.
I know. It's just a sweater. It's a sweatshirt, a crew neck sweatshirt. It's green and it just says missed in embroidered gold text.
It's cool. It's yeah. Somehow I think that's like even more nerdy than if it was like a big graphic.
Like in your face.
Yeah. It's just like, you know what I'm talking about. This version is like, you know what I'm talking about.
I bought it on a website called Limited Run Games, and what they do is they take games, like old games, and they'll reproduce them for modern consoles.
Yeah.
So like they reproduced Myst for the Nintendo Switch and sold it as like a cartridge, and then alongside the cartridge they also sell like Myst shirts and Myst hats. And I bought both the game and this shirt.
That's very cool. Most likely to buy a cool sweater.
Miss crew neck. Yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.